Red Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
Red Film Radio, this is Francesca Raffi. Today we're going to know more about the 8th Media for All Conference, Complex Understandings, which took place at the main campus of Stockholm University from the 17th to the 19th of June 2019. And today we are joined by one of the keynote speakers at the Media for All Conference, Agnieszka Sarkowska, Associate Professor in the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw. She is the head of AVT Lab, one of the first research groups on audiovisual translation. Agnieszka, thank you for being with us today and welcome back to FRED.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. Hello, everyone.
Agnieszka, you are a certified translator, a researcher, you are an academic teacher, but also a translator trainer and a media accessibility consultant. You have participated in many research projects over the years, including eye tracking studies, audio description, subtitling for the deaf and hard of hearing, re-speaking. So, Agnieszka, how has the media accessibility field changed in the last 5-10 years? I mean, I know it's impossible to cover everything, but, you know, what are the, let's say, 3 major transformations in your opinion?
Yes, that's a very good question and a complex one as well. Let me see. I think the first major or an important, a really important change that we've seen in media accessibility is what I would call user empowerment. Mm-hmm. When I was beginning my journey into media accessibility, what we were seeing was that users, blind people, deaf people, hard of hearing people, were very happy to have any access services that were thrown at them. Well, here in Poland at least, in other countries, accessibility perhaps has had a longer history. So when we were organizing screenings, let's say with audio description, and we were testing different solutions, we had problems with people criticizing us, with getting critical feedback, because everybody was happy to actually have some audio description there in the first place. Now I've seen that this has changed. Blind and partially sighted people have their own favorite voice talents now. They have seen a number of audio described films before, so they know what they like. They can even pinpoint what they consider errors. So all those things, you know, they have. We have made them experts in accessibility, and I see that as empowerment. And the same with deaf and hard of hearing people. I think they are even more vocal in demanding good quality captions or subtitles, particularly in recent years or even this year. There has been this movement marked on Twitter with a hashtag "No More Craptions." I don't know if you've if you've seen that, and people are more and more aware of the quality, and they demand good quality. I've seen that recently a number of organizations, including the National Association of the Deaf, have issued a petition to demand the improvement in the quality of live captioning in the US, and they're petitioning the FCC to introduce some quality measures. So they are becoming advocates for their own rights.
And more aware, maybe.
Yes, that's right. They are becoming more and more aware. So I think that's an important change. Another change, I would say, that has helped to push forward media accessibility, at least in Europe, has been the introduction of legislation. Mm-hmm. I think, well, particularly in the EU context, in the Polish context, we have seen that the obligatory quotas have resulted in an increase of media access services, particularly on television. Mm-hmm. And along with the rise of media access services, we have also seen the rise of different quality measures, particularly in the context of live subtitling or subtitling in general, not so much, I think, in audio description. So that's 2 points, right? You've asked about three.
Yes.
I think the technological changes that we are seeing generally in audiovisual translation, not only in media accessibility, so the industry is in a state of flux, you mm-hmm. could say. If you look at, let's say, the field of live subtitling in the US, a lot of live subtitling or captioning, as they say in the US, has been done by stenographers who have been charging high rates for the services. They need to be educated for a long time. Yeah. They're professionals that deliver good quality captioning. Mm-hmm. But there is such a great demand for captioning that there are not enough people to do that. And with the rise of speech recognition technologies and re-speaking, there's other people entering the market, so there's this tension also between stenographers and re-speakers or live captioners using speech recognition, and there's money issues there as well, and also a question of training. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing I think changes in terms of the provision of access services as well. And I've just been made aware of the existence of the what is known as Global Alliance of Speech-to-Text Captioning, mm-hmm. Which is a non-profit corporation that aims to, you know, introduce speech-to-text captioning to well, everywhere, basically, they say. So universal accessibility mm-hmm. to the spoken word via yeah. all forms of captioning.
Yeah.
So a great development of media accessibility, I would say, in recent years we have seen.
Yeah, and, well, you mentioned professionals. And I also think that maybe the gap between media accessibility professionals and academics is maybe closing, or it's not so wide as it once was. I think we can see this, I think, at international conferences on media accessibility. For example, at the Media Forward conference, you chaired a roundtable on AVT localization with media accessibility professionals and academics. And I remember you discussed, among many other things, how to mark multilingualism in subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, the quality of subtitles, the new language learning with Netflix software. These were among the hot topics you discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Agnieszka, what did stand out from the roundtable and from, you know, this combination between academics and professionals?
Yes, we had quite an interesting mix of people there, mostly professionals, mm-hmm. I would say. But I think that the hottest topic and the issue that everybody was talking about after we finished the roundtable was the role of machine translation in the audiovisual translation industry now. And this is quite controversial, as we all know. On the one hand, we have this new development that so many people are expecting to work miraculously, to work wonders, and so much investment has been done. And I think we have to admit, all of us, that from time to time we do use machine translation ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
Right. But at the same time, the question is it good enough to be used for audiovisual translation? And I think what most people were saying is that it's not good enough yet, and that there's this threat of translation, audiovisual translation, being a very creative job. And I think it was one of the participants in the comments who said that while translation is such a nice and creative thing to do, while post-editing of machine translation output is a torture. Audiovisual translators are really afraid of those new developments, and I think they have a point, because what they've seen, apart from the drop in the rates, is the change in what they are expected to do. From being creative, some people would say artists or professionals, to simply some sort of editors, and they're not very happy about that.
Well, speaking of hot topics, you will organize the upcoming International Conference on Audiovisual Translation Intermedia, which will be held in Warsaw on the 19th and 20th of September 2019. Agnieszka, tell us more about this conference and also about the workshops on the 18th of September.
That's right. So Intermedia Conference is an interesting concept, I think, because it's a conference that travels around Poland. It is organized by the Intermedia Research Group, and apart from myself from the University of Warsaw, there's Łukasz Bogucki, who was instrumental in establishing the whole thing, from the University of Łódź, where the first two Intermedia conferences took place. There's also Anna Jankowska from the Jagiellonian University in Kraków, who's been involved in the organization of this conference as well, and we also had one edition in Krakow, and also we have two members in Poznań at Adam Mickiewicz University, Ivana Mazur and Agnieszka Chmiel. They organized the previous edition in 2017. So the next Intermedia conference will probably be again in 2021. I'm not going to say where it's going to be located. Let's keep this as a surprise at the end of the conference. So this year, and for the first time, it is in Warsaw, and we're going to have two exciting days of different topics, really. We have a wide range of topics, starting from the history of audiovisual translation up to very recent developments, the research with eye tracking, the use of technology, 3D, all sorts of things, and I think also the use of CAT and possibly machine translation will be discussed as well, and there will be a mix of academics, companies, professionals, students, so the usual crowd, some of the usual names, but also we have a number of new young researchers entering, and I'm very happy to see them too. And before the conference, as we usual, we organize pre-conference workshops, and this year we're going to have workshops on interlingual life subtitling with re-speaking, and introduction to cloud subtitling, doing eye tracking research in audiovisual translation, and we also have workshops for professional subtitlers who would like to speed up their workflow, making the most of their subtitling software, as well as because we are in Poland, we also have a workshop on translating films for voiceover. And apart from these workshops that are strictly related to the Intermedia conference as such, we also have on Wednesday, the 18th of September, we also have two multiplier events of the ILSA project that we are part of.
The Interlingual Life Subtitling for Access project, right?
That's right. That's
Can you tell us a bit more about this project, Agnieszka?
Yes, so this project is, as you said, on interlingual live subtitling, which is a bit more difficult. If you thought re-speaking for live subtitles is difficult, then we are adding another layer of the difficulty there, that is doing this between different languages. So it's like interpreting combined with subtitling in real time. And we have a team of experts. The project leader is Dr. Pablo Romero Fresco, and I think you talked to on the radio
Many times. Yeah,
many
yeah,
times.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right. So he's he's the boss. he's based now at the University of Vigo. We have a great team from the University of Antwerp, very experienced in that. The University of Vienna with Professor Franz Poschacker, the interpreting guru. there's us at the University of Warsaw, and we also have. Partners from the industry, from VRT, Flemish television, from the parliament and other companies that are involved. And what we're doing is we are creating a course that will be available online, free of charge for everyone to use, and the course will be on interlingual life subtitling. It will consist of three main parts, what we call foundational components first, where we'll have materials on accessibility in general, on pre-recorded subtitling, as well as on simultaneous interpreting, which are sort of necessary components to enter the core part, which will be on intralingual re-speaking first, and then on interlingual re-speaking. And finally, we'll also provide some, we'll contextualize the course, because live subtitling takes place in different contexts, for example, on television, as well as live events and education. So we'll produce different materials, such as video lectures, different exercises, quizzes. We'll have interviews with professionals, video tutorials, different case study films showing live subtitling from different perspectives in different countries, so that as many people as possible could then use the course and become professionals in this newly emerging discipline.
Wow, that's so interesting. I'm looking forward to the Intermedia Conference, which will be held, as we said, in Warsaw on the 18th and 20th of September, and we will be preceded by workshops on the 18th of September. Agnieszka, where can we find more about the conference? I mean,
there will be online streaming, which is good news. We'll try to provide online streaming for the multiplier event on Wednesday afternoon, 2 o'clock CET. That starts. This will be available with live subtitles in English, and we'll be doing interlingual live subtitles in Polish as well on site. So those of you who can't attend, please make sure you stay tuned and watch the multiplier event, as well as plenary lectures. They will be streamed as well, and more information is available on our website that I keep updating a couple of times every day, so please stay tuned. So that's Intermedia conference website. There's also a Facebook event for the conference, so those of you who are interested in updates and possibly some live streaming on Facebook, you can follow us there. And also there's a ILSA project Facebook page, those of you who are interested in following the updates from the project, please like us there. And of course, those of you who are on Twitter can follow us with the hashtag of Intermedia 2019 Warsaw. That's for the conference, and the hashtag ILSA Project for the ILSA Project.
Wow, thank you. Great, Agnieszka. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you very much to all of you. If you want to know more about media accessibility, the Media for All Conference, don't miss our next interviews. This is Francesca Raffi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.